remember when we were strong. Back in the days before King Tenebrae and his royal guard, and the people of Amozran took up their own arms for fun and profit. Before all that, it was just us, the Viridian Outriders. We kept the roads and trails safe and secure, with homes and forts scattered about and locales civilized and not. Time passed, and we have been replaced. And yet, I hear the rumblings and murmurs of the roads being less safe than they had been. Monsters sniffing around in smaller towns, and magic acting oddly. Who knows? Maybe we'll be needed again.
Hello, and welcome back to Another Path. My name is Chase, and I remain your GM. Today, our heroes return from their expedition at Callaghan Cat's Corral, reunite with an old friend, and start to return to their lives. Thank you to our backers, Savani, Trent, and Katie, for their support. If you like what you hear, consider donating to us at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia, and maybe try checking out some of the other shows on the network. But with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy your trip down another path.
I did have a brush with D&D podcasting celebrity and fame.
Please, regale us.
Fucking entire McElroy clan, children included, came into the Institute one day.
The Institute.
Ryan, you went to go see... Were you at the Mabimbam show?
I was at the Mabimbam show, which would have been the evening before.
Yeah, you were at the Mabimbam show in Flavortown.
Yeah, I went with Sam and Kaylin, and yeah, oh boy, it was a whole thing. It was a great show, and they had, and everybody opened for them. They did Schmanners, and they did Sawbones. It was a good show. Sawbones was Institute-related.
Yes.
Because they talked about how King Tut died and the mystery behind that, which was at the Institute at the time, right?
Yes, it's currently the, like, big ticket exhibit that we have that's, like, our like, blockbuster summer exhibit or whatever. But, like, you had messaged me on Discord and was, like, you were telling us all about the show, and it's, like, they talked about going to the Institute. I was, like, cool, maybe there's a chance I'll see them.
They explicitly said it from the stage into microphones. I was like, this is a bad idea. Griffin has to know.
So it's like 10:30 in the morning. I'm sleepy, and I'm sitting next to like my two best friends at work, and I'm like falling asleep in my chair. I'm so tired. And at the front of the line, I see this like shock of purple hair. It's friend of the show, Katie, who I'm sitting next to.
Katie.
Who I'm sitting next to. And I immediately, like, eyes go wide. I perk up and I mutter, oh my God, it's happening. Because I then see Clint McElroy, who took me a second to realize it was Clint McElroy because he wasn't wearing glasses and his hair is long now.
His hair is long.
Yeah.
He was Aquaman at that show.
I then saw Justin McElroy looking the most like a tired dad that I've ever seen.
You rang?
And then Griffin McElroy bringing up the rear. And so Travis ends up going to one coworker who is also a fan, who once upon a time did a swimsuit Magnus Burnside's cosplay. So
delightful.
Like, cheers to that.
Katie
gets Justin, which is amazing because Justin McElroy is just trying to buy tickets for the family, doesn't give a shit about what's going on, which leaves me to get to talk shop with Clint and Griffin. It's like, I gotta say, big fan, yada yada. I have my name tag on. I'm like, as a fellow Griffin, I just gotta say, hey. And Griffin McElroy really literally just says out loud, oh hell yeah, dog, and reaches his hand across the counter and shakes my hand. I'm talking to them. Clint tries to get me out to see the Taz show that evening. I was like, sorry, I got rehearsal. And then Clint is just talking to me. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I'm just talking about community theater with Clint McElroy. And the icing on top is that right about there to leave, I was like, can I be that fan for a second and get like a picture? And Griffin McElroy is like, yeah, for sure. And I said, referencing the ill-fated TV show they did that one time, I was like, I've been wanting to get a We Are Griffin for years, and he said, hell yeah, let's make it happen, takes my phone out of my hands, gives it to Clint, and is like, is this good? Lines it up, takes one false start, and like dad, count us down. And then it's suddenly he's like, no, this has to be good. And then we get a good one, so he's deadpanning to camera, and I'm over his shoulder, and we get a Clint McElroy in the background counting down 3, 2, 1, and there's us going, we are Griffin.
I didn't realize that was Clint. That's amazing.
That's so much better with context.
And the rest of my day was amazing. And then 5 hours later, I'm watching Justin McElroy try to wrangle his children while tiredly carrying things from the gift shop.
That sounds right.
It was such a good day.
What a good day. Well, this is our second brush because we all went and saw Travis the one time.
We saw Travis, and like if I have my checklist out, like I really didn't get to say anything to Justin McElroy. He was just kind of doing his thing. But like I was inches away from him. But I roll my dice today in honor of Griffin McElroy. Griffin, if you're out there, man, we are Griffin. Anytime I'm feeling sad, I just open my phone and watch that, and I get a big smile on my face.
Legit.
I'm going to do it right now.
Do it. Put the sound into the mic.
We are Griffin.
Yes.
I was not sure what the deadpan vibe was leading up to that because he is so deadpan.
Yeah.
Like, I had to assume that the vibes were good because I know you, like, if he was giving you the Justin energy, that tired dad energy would not have happened.
He was real chill. And I like to think that I'm not a starstruck type of person. I wasn't trying to make a big deal. I was just being like, I love your guys' work. You guys inspired us to start our own actual play. We've been going for 5 years. It was super cool to meet you guys. Have a great day kind of thing.
Hell yeah.
And then I was like, but can I get a We Are Griffin?
but I am also Griffin.
I mean, there are only so many of us. Which is important.
And I feel like that's such a niche bit. I also really appreciate he knew exactly what I was going for.
Yeah.
Like that he could recall the bit. Because it's been years since the TV show as well.
It has. But I think if you made 6 episodes of a TV show, you would remember every bit that made it into it.
Fair enough. And I just like,
well, because they talked about, this is the whole episode now, they talked about how they had to watch the show after it was done and edited to know what the show was, because they just recorded so much, and the editors really had to like cut stuff down. So they didn't know which bits made it into the show until they watched the show.
Right. It's getting near noon as your crew makes their way back to the seat. It's been an awkward walk back. Dieter hasn't said a word. Now that you're getting a really good look at him, you're seeing an elf that is maybe just barely past their prime. He walks with less confidence than you expected upon initially hearing him. His eyes wide, locked to the ground. Harper, are you walking or riding at this point?
I'm in Ignis. I'm in the little gunner seat up top. I think probably, like, I've slouched down. I'm more, like, wedged in there. But I'm sort of, like, just, I've given him the direction which way to go. You know, just, like, follow Arabin. She's not crying, but it's like that angry, there's a lot of emotion.
She's seething.
There's anger, there's like confusion and like empathy toward like there's this moment with the Magicatronics that is lingering in her head. And as she's like almost kind of like, as much as she can from this position, be like kind of cradling Ignis, is getting a little existential and is angry and upset and just kind of is taking, she's having some enrichment time in her enclosure. She's regulating. But it's just like probably some just like reflex, like, you know, wiping some tears away from her face, not like sobbing, but just like, it's kind of pissed and has a lot on her mind and is just trying to kind of regulate back to be able to put on a face and get this damn ceremony for Dieter done.
Okay. Arabin, what is on your mind?
Arabin is very shaken right now. Mm-hmm. He is not often scared, and that fight was scary to him.
Yeah.
He did not know if he was going to live or die. He doesn't know what's going to happen if he dies. He is very badly hurt, and he's walking back, and he feels his wounds pulsing, and he feels the amulet pulsing, and they're pulsing in unison. But he's not going to show any fear, mm-hmm. any emotion to anyone else. He's just walking back, shut down because of how shaken he is.
Mm-hmm. The amulet and the entity within it have emotions you can feel. This is not new to you. While normally it is fairly quiet, and it's not even saying anything at this point, you can tell this thing loved every second of that. It was scary. It also, you know, it doesn't want you to die. Absolutely does not. But the thrill of combat, second to none for it. And it loved every second of that. Cecil, what's on Cecil's mind right now?
Cecil's brain is a little bit broken because that is the first time that Cecil's had a brush with death in quite a long while. The memories that come flooding back in are keeping them from even running through their post-mission like checklist or kind of talking out loud through things to make sure that no details are forgotten when he has to go write this down. The 1,000-yard stare during the trek back is very real and mm-hmm. evident.
Absolutely. Yeah. The mood is shared among everybody. No one really needs to hash this out right in this moment. There'll all be time for that. The seat looms ahead of all of you after a little bit of travel with Callaghan Cat's Corral far behind you, and now hopefully relegated to the realm of memory, you return to something more akin to normal reality. The seat, the outpost, the Inrider, lunch. You all gather around a table. Dieter is just shuffling along behind you all as you gather around a table and take a seat. So, what now?
Well, we will need a sash, some holy water, a blood dagger, three high captains, and a partridge in a pear tree. It's a joke, Dieter. I'm trying to lighten the mood.
Okay.
It was a bit heavy.
I'm sorry. It's just...
It's a bit heavy, Dieter.
We've been awake for like 30 hours.
Yes. Like, we're going to eat, and then we're going to sleep. And then we're going to induct you as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And get you out of here. You're probably coming back with us. I don't get to make that call, but you're probably coming back with us.
Okay.
We do have, kind of look around the room for a minute and realize I'm sitting in the outpost. We do have an undiscovered potential civilization that we have unearthed, so there is that.
Yeah, I think I heard you say...
Yes, you'll be very useful. We'll be able to put your brain to work. You'll have good things to do.
Okay.
I have one very, very important question for you, Dieter.
Yeah?
May we... there's power in names... And people like to be called certain things. Can we call you Deets? Can we get the Deets?
I don't hate it. don't hate it.
Maybe if it just comes, maybe it just needs to come out of someone else's mouth in a different voice.
We'll see. We'll see.
I look at Dieter and I say, you know, given my experience with the Outriders, if we did need all of those things, wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, I don't know. I mean, look, my life has changed a lot in the last like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm gonna take some time to adjust.
That's fine. Just don't run off.
Not where would I go?
I don't know. And that's the problem.
Right. Anyway. So food.
Yeah, y'all mind if I cook? I need something to take my mind off of all this.
That sounds amazing.
Sure.
I need a kitchen.
They just let you go back. You're an Outrider, yeah. And they are more than happy to let you go ahead and put something together.
Something just good, hearty home cooking, like
stew.
I'm talking like a big pot of like
chili stew mac
with. I'm thinking something in the vein of like matzo ball soup.
Ooh,
nice.
But with like crusty, like halfling biscuits, like a family recipe kind of thing. Like a thicker, like chicken stew.
Mm-hmm.
Some fresh veggies in there. You know, y'all can whip up whatever sides you want, but like. I kind of busy myself with this. Something like the smell just will take my mind off of this. Mm-hmm. Give me something to do. I think what Harper's love language is definitely food.
For sure. With a few moments of work, Harper returns to the table and lays out a phenomenal spread of stew. And as you eat, you feel enriched and arguably even more powerful.
Yes!
It's time for a level up lunch, my friends.
Woo! Level up lunch. Level
it's
up
level
lunch.
It's level 5, baby. This is a big one.
This is a choice one, so I would love to go around. Harper, as the founder of the feast, let's start with you.
Absolutely. This is going to be going for all of us. We all get a proficiency bonus boost.
What?
Which, yep. For me, means that Ignis gets significantly, not significantly, but notably stronger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of his abilities are influenced by my perception, or excuse me, my proficiency bonus. His perception is up to a +6, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
He's got more hit points, better attack, etc. As a battlesmith, I now get 2 weapon attacks in a round, mm-hmm. which is great. And I get access to second level spells.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
Which I think one of the things that Harper's doing, I think she like has the moment of like bringing all the food out and being like and hosting a little bit, and then is like serves herself a bowl and then fucks off to the corner to go like sit in the corner and just like
just have a couple emotions.
Yeah. And I think that in the Outrider like libraries or something, I have found a particular book that I have been reading up on about like spatial enchantments, kind of similar to what I put into Ignis.
Sure.
And it kind of reminded me of that geometric sort of enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
The math and the algebra of it all. And I think she's doing a little bit of just study and research into how to kind of bend physical space a little bit more.
Okay.
Influencing some potential spell choices that I will take down the line.
Done.
I'm one of those, I get to kind of pick my spell list at the start of the day, so I don't have anything like locked in, but
okay.
There's a couple I've had in mind that deal with that, so I think she's been studying a bit more on that, and that'll be a bedtime activity for a while.
For sure. All right. Cecil, what has happened? What are you doing?
Cecil gets a couple more hit points.
Love to
proficiency
see
bonus and third level magic.
Woohoo!
Excellent.
Nothing more, nothing less.
All right.
And as a sorcerer, I get only a very finite amount of spells.
Mhm.
And I have taken one very specific one, which I will not be sharing with the group at this time. Thank you.
Is it the one I'm thinking of?
Probably.
Okay.
$10, it's counterspell.
$10, it's catapult.
Catapult's first level. If they wanted it, they would have had it by now.
That's fair. That's fair. And I'm sure he does.
There is a separate spell called Catnap that I really wanted to take. I did not.
Catnap's very funny.
You basically just get to declare three people unconscious.
It allows three people to take a short rest in the span of 10 minutes.
If it forces them into unconsciousness, and if they remain unconscious for the duration, they gain the benefits of a short rest.
Uh-huh.
But also, I can force three people unconscious as an action without a save.
They have savage.
To be willing, right? They have to be, right?
Also, you have a warlock with you who could benefit from having a short rest in 10 minutes.
Sure could.
Point.
Just knock you out. Come back stronger. Also, though, level 5 sorcerer now, there is an additional meta magic option. Well, it's not meta magic, but it's if you make a skill check and you fail the skill check, you can spend a sorcery point for a reroll.
Ooh, that's handy.
Yeah, and it's after you know if you've passed or failed.
Always, yep. Always good.
I feel like I used that a couple times as Bilga.
It's super handy.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Now, Cecil took Fireball because Cecil's a pyro, as we all know.
Of course.
God damn it.
And did you add any other sides to the lovingly created lunch?
Tea, of course.
Yeah, it's tea. Well, I think we're out of toast mortem at this point. We're going to have to make some more. And Cecil is trying to think that through about how to make more. Because would need an identical corpse to make the same tea.
There might be more at home, but you're definitely like, yeah, no, you've been sucking that down since you left. You're going to need to stock back up on something else to drink for the road home. It's basement time.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's time to take them to the basement. It's basement time.
Wow.
Thank you for completing the bit.
Jesus Christ.
Don't get to bring up Flight of the Conchords very often anymore.
No.
Justin.
Yes.
What Arabin get? What that warlock level get you?
Two big things with warlocks at level 5. I get a second beam added to my Eldritch Blast.
Ooh,
yeah.
I do. Which, when I use it, I'll describe what that looks like.
Ooh, yes.
I also gain another Eldritch Invocation, and I've chosen to take Thirsting Blade, which gives me 2 attacks with my Pact Weapon.
Ooh.
So basically, doubling up my attacks.
You just doubled all your damage.
Yes, essentially.
Nice.
Very good.
For Eldritch Blast, five is a big one. For Eldritch Blast, then, with 2 beams, is it 2 rolls or is it 1 roll, 2 hits?
That I'm not sure. Do you roll for each beam?
That is 2 rolls. You roll for each one.
Okay, both.
And you get to declare
and damage both different rolls.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
On different targets.
Yes.
You can split them, or you can fire at the same target.
Awesome.
Yeah, there is a reason that warlocks are typically known for frequently using that spell. It's because it's a good fucking spell.
Good spell.
It's a really good spell that only they and sometimes bards get, and that's if they use magical secrets.
One of the best cantrips, if not the best.
Oh, the bar none. Bar none. Like, especially for damage, no questions asked.
Bard none?
Bard some.
Bard some.
That's why they don't get a lot of spell slots, because they're just blasting.
And did you add anything else onto your lunch?
Yeah, Arabin ordered a freshly toasted baguette from the kitchen.
Solid choice.
To be added to it.
Absolutely. Bread. Comes
he,
out.
He spread the butter on it, though, to make it his own.
Absolutely. He went on his own butter quest.
I'll butter your quest.
Hey, yo.
Busta Brown over here.
Harper, your nose buried in a book. Dieter eats slowly at first, and then, like, the moment what you all realize might be his first hot meal in months crosses his lips, he is ravenous and scarfs it down. As you all are finishing up your meals, you see one of the side rooms off the Inn Rider main area opens up. And walking out is a trio of individuals. You see, of course, the Grand Commander, Luca, and another individual that at least two of you don't recognize immediately off the bat. They are wearing their sash in a short cloak, which is denoting them as a listener, somebody from the more subterfuge area of the Outriders. But Cecil, you know this individual as one of your old running companions, Sterling.
Fuck.
Human, late 40s, early 50s, and it looks like the three of them are having a fairly in-depth talk that has just wrapped up.
I want to make this very clear. He's wearing his sash.
Yes, correct. Okay. And immediately, they all lock eyes onto your table. Grand Commander Wise and Luca both take note of the new person in your midst. And they all walk on over.
Luca, Grand Commander, we have some history that we would like you to be a part of.
So you have mentioned. Yeah, word travels fast, which is why we wanted to loop listener Sterling in on this one. I got to find his voice now. If anybody was going to do this, Cecil, it was going to be you, wasn't it?
Sometimes you got to make the choice that the situation asks for.
Well,
welcome back.
Just visiting.
I hope so. A bit busy with your other job.
These things happen, but that's why I am here. Had to clear things with me, but we're all good.
Cecil, like, kind of takes a second and does, like, a deep, like, one, two, three breathing exercise and then stands up. And reaches their hand to Sterling. Sorry, it has been the longest day I've had, well, in a long time.
I understand. No, like I said, they kind of clued me in. Pleasure to meet all of you. Listen to Sterling, please.
Yeah, hi, Harper, Crafter.
Hey, Erebin.
You're the new Outrider, right?
Yeah.
Well, pleasure to meet all of you. Good to see you. Good to see you.
You as well. You and Cecil know each other?
We go back, yeah. We used to run together with Luca.
Yes. The good old days.
They were.
Were you brought up in Baring?
No. I mean, I grew up here in the seat, but, you know, I spent some time down in Baring. You know, it was... sounds like Crypt's doing well, and... No, it sure was a pleasure to be down there while I was, but... Duty calls and lots of duties in lots of different directions. I would like the two of you to go ahead and roll me a history check, please. Harper and Erebin.
Okay. History, you say?
History, I say.
That's a straight roll.
Sugar Girl got a 15.
Okay.
Erebin got a 2.
Oh. It's even better when I know what the answer is and it's
he
perfect.
Doesn't know anything about anything.
No, like... Erebin, you are like still kind of wounded. Like, what's your HP at before you leveled up?
I think it was at like 16.
Oof. Yeah. Harper, you know you've seen this guy before. You must have seen him around here or something like that. He's like just very familiar. But you're not getting the placement.
Have you been through Baring in, like, the past few years or so? Because, like...
No, I haven't.
Or are you just one of those guys that always says, like, people say, like, you just got one of those faces? Because, like...
I like that. He's got one of those.
I really... Either way.
I just feel like we've met before.
Either way.
Do you know Meredith? Meredith,
She's still working down there?
Yeah, the Seeker, yeah.
Oh. Good to hear.
He just has an unremarkable face, that's all.
Either way, what we're looking at here...
Yes, is this going to work? Are we going to be able to do this?
It's fine. Your client agreed to it, I'm guessing. At least that's what it sounded like from...
Sure did. Yakov. You know, is he... Listen, Sterling. You can tell us, you can tell me... He's an archfey, right?
He's something. I don't know the specifics, but he's something.
Insight check.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if he's holding it back.
Sure.
There ain't no beef in the stew, but there's beef going on in this room right now. I'll tell you what.
Where's the beef? It's in the middle of all of you.
What's Luca's reaction to all of this?
Quiet discomfort. It looks, yeah.
Bet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Cecil can call Luca Luca. 16 insight.
He knows something else. It's not much more.
All right. Well, yes. Yes, Mr. Altrade agreed. He's fine with it. He views it as a favor. He might be amenable to more now that the Outriders have cleared up his problem for him with no death. So, and Dieter here is going to be a great asset for the Outriders. Right, Dieter?
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. Well, I'm going to do a quick roll for... Okay. Yeah, for sure. I just, and he just kind of falls into a stammering and then goes back to his stew.
We're working on that.
All right.
It's Luca, been a long couple days.
Luca chimes in. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. No, and I get, Dieter, I understand that you were in a less than ideal situation for a time. We're going to try and get you the help that we can. We do need to go ahead and get this part of things ironed out first, but we'll get that taken care of. No, I like, honestly, it was a happy coincidence that this was happening at the same time because I was also filling listener Sterling in our situation with the city.
Right.
We're going to need additional resources and, the listeners are well connected enough to be able to put us in touch with the right kind of people. So hopefully we'll be able to start moving on things pretty much as soon as we get back to the crypt.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yes.
Unless any of you have anything that you'd actually, Harper, I would like to talk with you in private about accommodations for Dieter once we get back. We can have that discussion here in a little bit. I want to go ahead and get this the initiation done pretty quickly. In the meantime, though, listener, I suppose I can let you get back to things. And he nods like, all right, yeah, I'll get back to it. You all have a phenomenal day. Pleasure to meet all of you.
You as well.
Yeah.
I'll lock you out, Sterling.
Katie, I'm going to do here. At this point, Katie comes down from upstairs and rolls a 3 on her history check. As you stand up to walk out the door, Katie immediately nabs your seat.
That's fine. I'm not coming back here to sit. It'll be to sleep.
And the two of you walk out the door. As you walk out, his sash remains on. He doesn't, you know, and he actually puts his hood up as you all leave.
Yeah, I'll follow suit and kind of try to make us as unnoticeable as possible.
Sure.
I wondered if I'd be seeing you before we went back.
Well, you know, I don't come around often, but, you know, like you said, between this and the city thing that you found.
It's a big deal. Yes, it is. I'm glad to see that the Crown is taking an interest.
Worthy to keep an eye on such things.
The lines between the Outriders and the Crown used to be a bit more blurred, and now it seems that, we know the Outriders aren't what they were for many reasons.
A lot of factors going on there.
Sterling, there's something coming. And I, like, stop him. There's something coming with this. I don't like it. I'm a bit scared for what we might find when we have to keep digging. I don't know what it is. It doesn't seem like it's from here, but... I've read a lot of books, Sterling.
I know you have. Are you that concerned about it? Really?
Concerned enough that I don't think I'll be pushing paper anytime soon.
You do like that, though.
Sometimes we have to do what our duty tells us to do, and not the things we'd like to do. Isn't that right, Your Majesty?
When this is on, it's listener.
And I'd like it to be a bit of both, so we can actually get some fucking things done.
and that's why I'm here.
Good.
The Crown is taking an interest, as it tends to do, when matters of national security are at play.
Good, good.
Luca's no fool. He knows this is dangerous.
He does, yes. We haven't been able to find any reference to anything like this anywhere. We have no ideas.
We know. I know.
Everything is new, Sterling. Everything is new. You know that doesn't happen.
We're going to be doing everything we can. I've got the best folks I can on it. I might even try and call in a favor or two to get some proper setup around there, but is it worth the risk? More security means more eyes on it. More eyes means the secret is looser.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I don't know what's going to come out of there. When we tangled with whatever was down there, it was eating magic in a way I've never seen magic respond. It was shifting and changing and moving and just a strange amalgamation of things that are not meant to be together.
Wow.
Unnatural. And I'm not talking about necrotic energies or things of a dark nature or something unholy. This is crime against nature, the gods, and anything else that has a purpose in this world.
All right. Look, like I said, I'm getting the best I can on it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself. Take care of them.
Don't worry. We'll be fine. Probably. Maybe. Thank you, Sterling.
Of course, Cecil.
Turn around and walk back.
He walks down the road. Harper, do you stay at the table or do you immediately go talk to Luca?
I'll go talk to Luca.
Okay.
I'll take Iggy with me.
He has moved back into the Outrider chamber, and he's starting to pull together everything he needs for the sashing. It is a private ceremony. He doesn't have to call everybody together.
Right.
But you do see him looking over like some particularly brittle scrolls. I cannot believe Cecil is making me dig these up. I can't believe it. If anybody is going to, it's gonna be him. Harper, hi.
Might as well try to think on the bright side here, hi, Captain.
Mm.
This was a no-win situation. We were either gonna make a very powerful enemy, have a stray join our ranks, or wind up dead.
Mm. Look, so. I'm not mad. This is a... If we can get his head back on straight, this is a perfectly fine outcome.
It's a big if, Captain.
No, that I'm aware. What's your read on him?
On Dieter?
Yeah.
Not great. I mean, is he proficient? Yeah. Is he more proficient than me? Probably. He made... I would wager half the damn things in that park, beyond just the magical constructs. I wouldn't say they're as elegant as Ignis, and I don't mean to be tooting my own horn there, but they're just a sort of a different make.
Sure.
But like he's got a really good mind for engineering, for mechanics.
Hmm. Well.
But he's damaged goods, Captain. Yakov did damage.
It's kind of the impression I got.
And I don't like the... I know it's going to be good for us, and I know it's going to help their Outriders in the long run, but there's something that rubs me extremely the wrong way about that guy.
Mm. Okay.
I would just... That's the definition of above my pay grade at this point. I would just watch out.
Okay.
I'd be real careful around him, Captain.
I mean, look, we're heading back tomorrow, so
I know
we're not lingering. We're gonna get
out of Dodge.
I'm just saying, 5 years from now, when we end up back in the seat again, and, you know, you're pressing hands with the people that signed the paychecks, just don't let your guard down, Captain. That he's gonna outlive all of us.
I'll put the word out with the local outpost just to keep an eye out for him. But, you know, the fact is he's sticking by the law and he's been very, very generous with the right people nearby.
I know.
It's not that he doesn't have his enemies. It's that, you know, he's playing by the rules. And when you play by the rules, you get to play for really as long as you want. Anyways.
All right. Now, when you said accommodations for Dieter,
we've only got the one forge. And it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while for him to earn his spot. But at some point, he's going to need a workshop and you might have to share.
Okay. I'm just saying, I think he may be better suited for like a base camp situation for the excavation and whatnot.
And that's certainly on the table.
I'm giving him like the full like, finger guns, finger crossbow.
That's on the table too, but that also might be on the table for you. You know, we're going to have to... figure out what things look like once we get back, you know. Since I moved up, other people got to move up too, and, you know, we're going to have to make some decisions as far as what all of this is going to end up looking like.
Sure.
I need you to be ready that if somebody else is in your space for a little while, you got to be ready, you know, maybe try and take them under your wing a bit.
Harper grimaces.
Everybody's got to do it at some point. Got to teach them what it means to be an outrider. You yourself, if I remember correctly, had a pretty harrowing experience when we pulled you in. Seeker Meredith took you under her wing without a thought.
Fair enough.
Now, Dieter, I mean, he's an elf, so I can't exactly say how old he is, but from where he's starting right now, you know, you weren't too far away from that yourself. Maybe a little further away, but the point stands.
Yeah. I understand, Cap.
All right. Can you help me find some candles? I don't know where they keep them. Jara?
I got some in Ignis.
Oh, thank you. And we pull back out. Erebin, you and Katie are sitting at the table together.
Erebin's still, like, munching on some stew.
So what happened, actually?
Well... we went back there, and you remember the magicatronics, right?
How could I forget? It was 5 hours ago.
Yeah, well, Dieter had the control stones, and then he dropped them, and then they just went crazy. We ended up having to break all of them.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it,
Yeah, you look like shit. What the hell?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
No, seriously, you're kind of bleeding a bit.
I'm kind of bleeding a lot.
Let's get you to the... Jeez, okay.
Have you had any of the stew? The carrots are really tender.
It's very good. Harper makes a fine stew. Get to the... And she kind of bodily, like, pulls you to the med unit and, like... pushes you into a chair and starts, like, trying to find some bandages.
I promise I'm fine.
Well, you will be. All right, where are you hurt?
He just gestures to all of him.
All right, shirt off. Let me bandage you up. How did nobody there, like, catch this? Can none of you, like, do healing crap?
Yeah,
like, I know Cecil...
really our thing.
Okay, I'll get you proper bandaged. She takes a couple of, like, compresses and, like, binds them to you. She hands you, like, a normal health potion, 2d4 plus 2.
Do you know Callaghan was able to shoot his gun, and it was huge?
That was functional?
Yeah, apparently.
at a theme park for children?
Yeah, the security's no joke.
That seems like more of a liability than anything.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell if that is, like, Dieter being weird or Alltrade being weird. And I don't want to ask Dieter, because that's going to be a whole thing, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't bring up the Magicatronic Sim for a while.
All right. Well, you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm just ready to hit the hay.
Yeah, no, get to bed, my guy, like...
Arabin's sort of still patting, like, the blood with the gauze, mm-hmm. just sort of, like, starts to walk away.
Stop touching it. Come on.
It's gotta go somewhere. I'd rather not dry on me.
And time passes.
Nobody tell Katie that Cecil died, okay? Like, let's not do that.
Oh, I forgot that happened.
Yeah. He did not die. Yeah. You were making saving throws.
Making saves. Okay, yeah. The RP version of making death saves.
The pearly gates were opening.
Yes.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Cecil and Harper, do the two of you go to bed?
Yeah.
Depends on how quickly we're doing this. Like, if we're trying to do this in 20 minutes.
The sashing is... Well, I guess it would only be one of you. So, no, Cecil, they would ask for one of you to be involved with the sashing, which is a fairly simple ceremony.
Yeah.
It is an oath and very little else.
Cecil feels like they're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But would does kind of pull Harper's side, like, would you do you want to sleep or do you want to do the sash? You're gonna have to work with Dieter if you want this to be a thing or a moment. Like, you helped him ceremonialize, get in, and wow, I am misspeaking. I am so tired. I'll do it, or you can do it, or you can go sleep.
Cecil, if I'm being just real honest, I'm kind of. I know this was, like, all of our ideas. I'm not trying to, like, wriggle out of this, but, like, now that's right in front of me, maybe it's just because I'm dirt tired. I'm really dreading the idea of having to keep Dieter around.
All right.
I realize that's real hypocritical of me, but, like, I like my space. I like being able to do what I do. It made me feel special, you know?
No one's going to replace you. That's not what we're doing.
I know.
You're right. You need some sleep. Go get some sleep. I'll take care of this.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us here on Another Path. You can find our website and merch store at anotherpathpodcast.com, on Twitter at anotherpathpod, and our network at ghostlightmedia.net. You can support our efforts by donating at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia or by giving us a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher will let you. You can also find me on Twitter at TQLoudly, Griffin at Griffcold, and Ryan at RyanRolled20. You can find Justin on TikTok at JustJustinMichael, and myself at TQLoudly. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode, and until then, remember that everyone needs time to heal in their own ways.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.